Good Wednesday morning, everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
man, come on.
That cut, guys, right there may be more accurate than we thought. We may have to rebrand this show before, you know, for a while, for who knows how long, because apparently, Key, we're going to have to come up with a new name here or there, right?
We could keep the same name.
Well, you know, man.
I say we keep the same name and see how long it takes for people to figure it out. How about that?
Yeah, not long, I don't think.
Well, so listen, you know, I'm still around. I'm going to be part of ESPN for the next, you know, however many years. I'm still going to be great friends with everyone involved. LZ, Travis, Amanda, Raj, Chris, Jorge, Mason in Ireland, you know, George Sedano. I'm still here. You may lose me in body for sure, but you
Sweet
will not
Jesus.
Lose me in spirit.
Sweet Jesus, you're just going to another show. You're not dying. What are you talking about? Spirit and body and all
that? Oh, Lord. He wasn't left too long.
I'm still, my cologne smell will still be throughout the building. When you get on the elevator, you will know that I'm there.
Man, I don't want to keep smelling that axe, man. Can we not clean that out now?
No, ain't no axe, fool. And at the end of the day, if I'm welcome, I'm still going to be on Travis and LZ show with y'all. You know, if I'm welcome, if y'all allow me to come on, it, you know.
Well, your spirit, for sure. It's not your body, right? We can take in.
And I'm taking a shaking with me. I'm taking a shaking with me. I'm taking Chef Boyardee with me. Those two things are definitely going with me. They're going. Taking a shaking and Chef Boyardee are going with me.
Well, considering the number of times, Key, we've already seen our stuff being stolen and rebranded on other shows already. Right. We're already prepared for you to take our stuff. I just want to keep Mysterio here at home.
No, you can take Mysterio.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can have that. You can take that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be taking Mysterio with me.
Raj, put up a poll. Yo. Should Mysterio stay or should he go?
How many times should he go? I'm gonna start hitting the lever over and over and over again. Get Mysterio out of here for good. I mean, that could happen. Deshaun Jackson, guys, tried to clean up a mess that he himself created when he posted something on his social media accounts. He put a Hitler quote up there, which said, "Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were." He immediately got some heat from it. He has he's tried to apologize for it. I just don't know how we're in this spot to begin with. I'm accustomed to people saying dumb things. I'm accustomed to people having their deepest, darkest thoughts exposed, because people will sometimes slip up and say what's really going on in their mind. But I really did not think we'd get to a point where an NFL football player would quote Hitler on his social media page and then be surprised by the backlash that it creates.
Yeah, we've talked about this obviously since it occurred. You know, I had a friend of mine last night who happens to be Jewish text me, and you know, he was a little visibly upset in explaining himself to me about why he was upset. And I understood and I got it clearly. But I don't think Deshaun got it. And, you know, we went back and forth all morning long about why he wasn't getting the message. Why? And I will say that I believe that part of it is the lack of education about Jewish community, about Judaism, about all of those things. And you say, well, how could that be? He went to college. Yeah, just because you step on campus don't mean you're paying attention. Just because you went to high school doesn't mean you're paying attention. Doesn't mean those sort of things. And so for me, I look at it as he's a basic dumbass that doesn't understand or know that what he said and posted was highly offensive, and it took somebody to pull him aside to be able to say, dude, do you realize what you just did? And he probably to this day, in all honesty, even though he's saying what he's saying and redacting his initial Instagram post, he probably still don't realize that it was wrong. He probably doesn't, because his brain doesn't operate like that. You know, and I know I get a lot of it from y'all about how I try and give guys the benefit of the doubt in certain situations. It's not giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's understanding who he is and how his brain operates, having known him since childhood, having known about him and his life and upbringing and all those sort of things. And another thing, in NFL locker rooms, no one is talking about Judaism. No one is talking about the Jewish communities because they wasn't raised in it. So there's no pushback about it because they don't understand. And when you don't understand something, it's hard to insert yourself in that conversation. And I learned this just long, many years ago about getting in a conversation I don't know nothing about. That's why I try my best to educate myself on everything, because when I'm sitting at the table, I want to be able to have the conversation. I don't want the conversation to go over my head, so I'm now sitting there looking like a tool. And in this situation with him, I can almost promise you, he did not know anything about what he was posting. He was trying to insert himself in the movement, in the message that we as a Black community are trying to send to the world. He was just trying to be, you know, a hero of sorts. That's what he was trying to do. He really honestly was and didn't realize what the hell he was doing. That's why he's a dumbass.
Listen, I'm all for trying to use your social media platform to try to uplift people. But in the process, if you're denigrating people, you're doing it wrong. And regardless of who you thought said the quote, because reportedly the quote wasn't even really Hitler's quote, it was a manufactured quote to begin with. But simple fact that you thought it was Hitler, I'm not even going to factor that in. In a vacuum, that is a disparaging quote. In a vacuum. So whether you want to talk about World War II and the events that happened, if you want to talk about the Holocaust, if you want to talk about Hitler's role in global politics, you want to take all of that out. Take all of that out. Let's give him the benefit of doubt, and he doesn't know anything about any of that stuff. The quote in and of itself is offensive in a vacuum. And so when you tell me things like, I didn't mean to offend the Jewish community, but it explicitly says the Jewish right. community is out to extort America, I'm having a hard time believing that your lack of information about world history influenced that quote. It feels like you're trying to pull an okey-doke on me. And then in your apology, you acknowledge that you said that you knew that Hitler was a bad guy. But again, I'm not even going to include the Hitler part. Just the quote alone disparages an entire community of people.
I just don't get why his ignorance is potentially an explanation or an excuse for being bigoted or prejudiced, whereas other people's ignorance and it is, okay, he's this, let's move on. That Drew Brees quickly got absolutely gutted for saying what he said. And we talked about on this show that maybe he told us who he really was. Maybe it wasn't just a misstep. Maybe it wasn't just something that he said, and people jumped his ass because of what he said, and rightfully so. This isn't a, yeah, he meant it like X, Y, and Z, not really what it looks like. Why does what it looks like for him not matter, but it matter what it looks like for everyone else? It's not an equitable reaction to these sorts of things. And I understand Drew Brees' standing in the league and in, you know, the sports universe is much more elevated than DeSean Jackson's. I understand that. But why does DeSean Jackson get a, well, here's where he was coming from and his ignorance to the issues, therefore that's why he said what he said, as opposed to the more logical explanation, the more simple explanation is he's anti-Semitic and he let it be known to the world. That seems to be the most, the easiest explanation is this man has thoughts in his mind about Jewish people and he let it go. That seems to me to be the most easy explanation.
Yeah, it probably is the most easy explanation, Travis, but I think at the same time, when you're dealing with a majority of Black players in the National Football League that have been dealing with so much for so long that they going to a degree give a pass to certain situations to protect their own, because their own have been done so wrong for so long that you're not going to get a major pushback. And on top of that, the lack of understanding as a whole. There's a few in there that understand, but as a whole, understanding Judaism, the Jewish community, what harmful things are, they don't know. In fact, Jeff Schwartz, who was an ex-offensive lineman for the New York Giants, said exactly what I'm saying. In that locker room, it's not talked about. It's not mentioned. There's none of that. So therefore, it's a lack of education. Think about for so many years in school with us, LZ, how we were not talk about our Black history, where we didn't know certain things about our Black history because it wasn't something that was brought up to our attention. We had to learn about those things as we got older and learn about them on our own. They were not in our textbooks. So at the end of the day, it's not talked about in the locker rooms. It's not that we don't have seminars and NFL seminars talking about Judaism in Jewish communities. We don't.
I understand that. Though I would argue, though, that at least in my experience, both as a teacher as well as a student, that the events of World War II are definitely pretty much painted out in a much clearer way than some of the things you're talking about with our Black history in America.
Yeah, but you act like, in all honesty, though, you act like they really sitting down paying attention.
World War II
in history.
No. What I was about to say was, I'm not counting that in my criticism of DeSean Jackson's apology. I'm not, as I said before, I'm completely taking that aspect of the conversation off the plate because I don't know what his depth of knowledge about global history is. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the quote that he chose to highlight is so explicit that you don't need the context of events from 60, 70 years ago to know what he sent out was offensive to Jewish community because it literally says the Jewish community.
But wait, though, Coach, check this out, though. You just said to us a minute ago, right, that wasn't even a quote that Hitler – that wasn't even something Hitler said, apparently, right? It's somebody
else. He thought it was.
Exactly. My point, though, Travis, is he doesn't even know what he's grabbing and putting on the damn Instagram because he doesn't know.
The point that I'm trying to make is that there is no context that qualifies this. There is no anything that makes this other than what it was, which was an anti-Semitic attack. And his ignorance to world history aside, the fabrication of the quote aside, this was, as LZ has said a couple of times, explicitly anti-Semitic, and he posted it on his social media account.
There's no question that it is, but I don't think that's him, is all I'm saying. I just don't think it's him. I think he was trying to insert himself into the conversation about what's going on in the world and the protesting and doing all of the things that we're trying to do as a country, and he got it wrong. That's what I really honestly believe.
All right, Dylan Hernandez is going to join us next. He is an LA Times columnist. Of course, he writes a lot about the Dodgers. He's going to join us next to tell us where all of their players are. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, the Dodgers and everybody else getting ready to at least try and restart the Major League Baseball season. Joining us right now is LA Times sports columnist Dylan Hernandez, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Dylan, good morning. How you doing? Yes, we've been up for 3 hours. We're ready to go.
Yes, we're fired.
It's 8:17 in the morning, man. You should have been up cooking breakfast by now.
No, my eyes are half closed. Yeah.
Dylan, got a quick question for you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, what's the best movie either of them have ever made?
Oh, man. God, what was this movie called? I can't remember. There's one where Sylvester Stallone, he plays a goalkeeper, like for a prison soccer team. Pele was
Glory.
Glory, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was actually a good movie or not, but as a kid, I loved it. So I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, you ain't gonna win no snake drafts anytime soon. You're not winning any snake drafts anytime soon, brother. You may not know what that means, but trust when I say you will not be wearing any crowns anytime soon.
Don't worry. I'm not taking the snake draft with me. So you got speaking of taking things with them or keeping things, the Dodgers have several players that are not in camp right now. And not, they're not really saying anything about why they're not in camp. What are you hearing, as I would say, with your ears to the ground?
I mean, I've heard there have been positive coronavirus tests, right? You know, and this is where it kind of gets a little dicey and everybody's playing this weird little game where, you know, obviously there are HIPAA laws involved and the team can't release information of who tested positive unless the players give them permission. Now, they're right in some cases around baseball, you know, most notably with like Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves. You know, I think he wanted it out there, right? That, hey, I got this thing and, you know, kind of as a public service type thing. But yeah, my understanding was probably even a couple weeks before, you know, these guys started reporting that there might have, you know, that testing had already kind of started. And so, you know, now are these necessarily the guys that tested positive? I don't know. But the fact that they're not saying kind of, you know, everybody's kind of playing this weird game right now where everybody's kind of right walking around the truth and not really saying what's going on. But I mean, it certainly creates that type of impression that, you know, maybe these guys are either right, have tested positive and are in a quarantine type stage, or maybe they're just, you know, uncomfortable with what's going on right now in terms of the testing protocols and just kind of the general safety of returning to play and are maybe considering not playing. So again, you know, just because of the privacy things, they just haven't said anything. And that's, you know, that's kind of the best we can do really is just kind of speculate right now.
Dylan, you know, names aside, what's going on with the logistics in terms of the coronavirus testing? I saw something floated out there that some executives said they were blindsided with FedEx deliveries not happening over the 4th of July weekend, which sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard from anyone associated with any league, not knowing that a holiday would interfere with mail. what do you think is the reasons for this hiccup with the logistics of testing?
I mean, if I'm going to be like honest, and I don't know if this is like a PC thing to say, but this is America, man. You know, this is not Japan. This is not Germany. Those countries, right? We, you know, they say they're going to do something. They think about all the contingencies, what can go wrong, and things generally get done over here. You know, over there, you know, here, honestly, a lot of things we do, we just kind of, right, do things on the fly, and you know, we'll deal with the problems when they get there. And yeah, like you said, right, these unexpected quote unquote hiccups came up because honestly, I don't think they really thought this all the way through, right? I mean, and you know, in all fairness, we are dealing with something that's completely unprecedented, you know, and I think, you know, Yu Darvish actually on his blog, you know, he plays now for the Chicago Cubs, had a pretty detailed post about kind of life inside the bubble right now, or not bubble, but, you know, what it's like at the ballpark right now. And he was saying, you know, that they were supposed to get tested every 2 days, but that some of his teammates have said they've actually gone like 4 days without testing, you know. So, yeah, there are hiccups here, you know. And I think, again, it's just you're dealing with, you know, again, you're not in a bubble situation. You have these huge rosters. You know, they have shifts of players right now, right? Because not everybody can show up at the stadium at the same time. The Dodgers are basically spreading their workouts over an entire day. The Angels have split, right, between two sites, Angel Stadium and Blair Field in Long Beach. And so there, it's just kind of a lot going on. And I think that a lot of what happened too was, I mean, they were so, you know, kind of in planning the return, everything was about the financial terms, right? And let's be honest, right? They're back because of money. You know, this is about money. And so, you know, because of that, money got prioritized. And honestly, the health stuff got put on the back burner. And I mean, I guess relative for the time that they spent on it, it's probably actually not a bad protocol. I mean, it's got it's a 113-page document. But yeah, I think that there are things that they just didn't think about.
Dylan Hernandez joining us here on The Morning Show. He's an LA Times sports columnist. Dylan, with that in mind, with the money in mind, how many guys are out there playing because they want the year of service time and that they're actually worried about health and everything else? And Mookie Betts in particular, is he playing because he wants to play, or is he playing so he can check that box and be a free agent at the end of this?
He certainly sounded like he was playing because he needs to be, right? He wants to be a free agent at the end of this year. You know, it was interesting because, you know, on the Zoom call with him a couple of days ago, you know, I asked him just kind of his thoughts about kind of, right? I mean, he's going to be, and you think about this too, right? Or, you know, just kind of on a different aspect with Mookie here, it's that his walk year is going to be 60 games, right? That's really short. I mean, let's say he's got, like, he has a bad first month. I mean, he could walk in a, you know, free agency with a 240 average. Now, does that erase everything? You know, how, you know, how's that going to affect his value, right? And what he said was basically, I'm not thinking about that. And he kind of very quickly switched to, you know, the greater concern right now is with the health stuff and the testing. And throughout the call, he mentioned that, you know, kind of going out of his way. He went out of his way to mention his concerns about health multiple times. And, you know, we, Andy McCullough, you know, who used to work for us, now works at The Athletic, did ask him, you know, so yeah, with the service time thing, like how much does that factor into your decision to play? And he says, like, yeah, that's definitely there, right? You know, and I think also, you know, there's going to be some players who aren't really going to make money, who are almost going to be playing for free, you know, in the sense that if you're a minimum salary player, and I believe the major league minimum right now is like $585,000, close to $600,000. You know, major league, like if you were a full-time major leaguer, you know, in back in part, as part of the March agreement, you got $300,000 at that point, right? So a prorated share is going to actually be even less than that. And so these guys are basically playing, you know, they already got the money that they were going to get, right? So they're basically playing for free at this point. Now, you know, that's the thing, right, is that, you know, you there's the service time issue. There's also, in addition to that, I think, right, I mean, if you're, you know, a guy who's making $700,000, you're probably not, like, one of the stars on the team. You're still trying to find your place in the game. So you kind of have to go out there, you know. I think there are even some, you know, I spoke to one agent, you know, one of his clients is, you know, an arbitration-eligible player. He was going to be non-tendered. He did, like, a pre-tender deal, signed, like, a cheap $700,000 deal. Yeah, like in his case, he's basically playing for free. But you know what? He's basically playing for his job. He's auditioning for his next job. So, yeah, a lot of this is, I think, you know, I think that there's a decent amount. You know, I'm sure it's all over the place, right, in terms of motivation for playing. But I think for certain guys, it's definitely a factor.
What are your expectations for the players who haven't shown up yet? Do you think it's health related? Do you think it's logistics related, or do you believe it's something else? And are they going to be able to perform at the level that the Dodgers need them to in order to win this thing?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is, again, I think that there's screening's been probably been going on for a while, you know. You know, we haven't, you know, somebody was in really bad shape, honestly. Like, I kind of have a feeling we would have heard about that, right? I mean, again, in Freddie Friedman's case, he's actually, like, sick, right? He's not asymptomatic. He's showing symptoms. And, you know, his wife, you know, posted the details on Instagram and, you know, kind of as a public service announcement, like, hey, this is a real thing. Like, don't take this lightly. You know, it could just be that these guys tested, you know, and again, I don't know the details. I just want to emphasize that. But it very well could be that guys tested positive but are asymptomatic and are just kind of in a quarantine phase. You know, I think we'll probably learn a lot more over the next week because, right, usually the quarantine period is 2 weeks. So, you know, if they don't start showing up in another week, now you know something's actually wrong, right, in terms of either guys showing symptoms or maybe he really has doubts of whether he wants to play or not.
Dylan, what are the chances of a start and stop and completely stop? What are those chances?
I think that's, you know, you talk to people around the game. I mean, most people that I've spoken to, you know, executives, agents, players, everybody, I think that's kind of the expectation is that they're going to be able to start, but probably will not be able to finish. And right. And if we look at it too, right, the 60 game schedule, the reason the owners wanted a shorter schedule was so that they could have a better chance of getting to the playoffs. Right. And getting that TV revenue, right? That's really what the owners are after. So I think obviously even on that side, right, the fact that the season's only 60 games shows again that they have worries. You know, can they get the season in? You know, I wouldn't even be surprised, honestly, if they don't even start. You know, I mean, in the sense that, you know, even around baseball, you're having positive tests. You're having these tests and snafus. I do think, you know, again, Darvish in his blog post today mentioned that, you know, players are upset that the testing hasn't been kind of what was promised to them, you know. And I do think now people are starting to kind of wonder, okay, am I safe? Am I not? And, you know, as those voices get louder, I think, you know, they could be, right, if there's an outbreak, you know, before the season, I could very well see them just kind of bagging it at this point. I mean, and to me, if I, you know, you look at Major League Soccer, what's going on there, that to me, right, because they're in a bubble in Florida. One team in their tournament has already had to pull out. I mean, that is, you know, and I don't know if that thing's going to be able to, right, and again, that's in a bubble situation, keep in mind. Those players can't leave the bubble, right? These baseball players, they're going to their own homes every night, you know, whatever. And, you know, they've been told, like, please be responsible. But, I mean, you're talking about a lot of players here, you know. And can you – and as much as, you know, I think guys like, you know, Joe Maddon the other day really kind of stressed, right, this is a time to be a great teammate right now. And, you know, all these – right, I mean, you know, the preaching of, you know, individual responsibility isn't great – social policy, I think, right? You know, I mean, if we could just go and tell everybody, like, hey, everybody, be a good person, we wouldn't need a police department, right?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you're going to have guys that are kind of going to go out here and there. And, you know, at that point, it's just kind of like a game of probability, right? And I could very well see there kind of being an outbreak and guys either refusing to play or just, you know, the PR thing kind of turns into a nightmare and then deciding just not to even start.
Dylan Hernandez is an LA Times columnist, sports columnist. Dylan, appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right, but take it or shake it.
All right. The intersection of sports and politics, at least one owner says we don't need it anymore. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, so we had another snake draft this morning. We drafted movies that are either containing Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone, or in the case of at least one of these movies, both of these guys. I'll be honest, Raj, the numbers here make me believe that people really aren't even paying attention.
Why you say that?
Why? Is it because I'm leading again?
No.
Is that why you're saying that?
It's three, not. Pete.
It's not. No, because LZ, you and I are even. We both have 35%.
No, that's no longer true. I've now pulled ahead.
You're right. Now you're 36.5 to 34. Key is right. Down at 29.5. The reason these things are just bogus at this point is because Keyshawn should have 0% of the vote.
Travis, just because he's leaving doesn't mean we get to trash him now.
No,
you usually wait until he's gone.
Okay, you go ahead and you defend that list and why it should get one out of every three votes.
All right, so Predator, classic movie. True Lies, great movie.
I don't know about True Lies.
Yeah, True Lies really was good. Not a great movie.
True Lies is really good.
And look, I'm a Jamie Curtis fan.
Sharon
That's not
Stone?
A great movie.
Isn't that with Sharon Stone? Or is
no,
that the
it's
other
with
one?
Jamie
Lee
Curtis.
Oh, Total Recall. Oh, I picked Sharon Stone. Never mind. I win.
No, I have no beef with your picks. You picked four movies that are pretty good movies. True Lies and Assassins. Assassins, like, I don't even think any of us even knew that was a movie until he picked it.
Well, what's up, Hong?
I was just offended that he kept calling him a Latino. And it's like, you're from Spain, you're Spanish.
Right?
You're
now, Travis, to defend yours, like some, like LZ might say, oh, you got a trash movie like Conan the Barbarian. But it was so weird. When it ever comes on, I still can't turn away.
I think
Commando,
there's a distinction
I have no idea
to be made. Conan the Barbarian is not a great movie. It is not a great movie, but it is an iconic movie. Because it was Arnold's, because I think the weightlifting movie, Pumping Iron, was his first movie, but this was the first movie where it was a commercial success that he played the lead role and he didn't speak in the movie. That's not easy to do, and it launched one of the great careers in Hollywood history.
And he had Wilt Chamberlain, and you have to wonder how many girls on the set that he went after. You had Grace Jones in there. And then you pick Commando, which you and I were discussing at the break. We still have no idea what the plot was, why his daughter got kidnapped. It's not
but I love it. It's a great movie. He was blowing stuff up. So in LZ, of course, you have the Terminator 2, which is, I still remember
it's
what
the best
theater
movie
I was
out of everything on the list.
First Blood for me might be my best movie, but Terminator
Rocky
2
is the only one that won Best Picture.
True, but that doesn't. True. And Predator, all
but
of your
so
first,
does Shakespeare in Love, and anybody trying to see that anymore? So you know.
First, all three of your first picks to me is like hard to pick a one. First Blood, Terminator 2, and The Predator. I think we all know where we were when we were when we first seen all three of those, and they're both iconic. So number one picks are great. And then you guys with Total Recall was just a fun ride. And that had to be Arnold in his prime, where he just couldn't miss with an action movie. Rocky, of course, and then Terminator. You can't go wrong with that. Then the third is where it gets a little strange on you guys. And you know, Creed is solid. True Lies is good, but wasn't the best. Conan. But you guys have great lists, but I don't know how Keyshawn has 29% of the vote. No
Man,
one saw
Assassins
any damn
is
Assassins.
Dope.
We know who Jorge voted for.
And of course, guys, you guys can still vote. Just go to ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter feed. And you can cast your vote. And by the way, we may have an actor from one of those movies on tomorrow, just waiting word. Just went after someone that I know was in one of those movies. So make sure you listen tomorrow to the show.
Is it Sharon Stone?
I look forward to speaking with Sly. That'll be fun. happy
set the
birthday,
bar that high.
Sylvester. All right. The co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, WNBA team, the Atlanta Dream, is a woman by the name of Kelly Loeffler. She is also a senator from the state of Georgia, and she wants the WNBA out of the social justice business. That she wrote a letter to the WNBA commissioner that said, the truth is we need less, not more politics in sports. In a time when polarizing politics is as divisive as ever, sports has the power to be a unifying antidote. And now more than ever, we should be united in our goal to remove politics from sports. She went on to write, the WNBA is based on the principle of equal and fair treatment of all people. And we, along with the teams and players, will continue to use our platforms to vigorously advocate for social justice. She does not want Black Lives Matter painted on the course. She does not want the WNBA in the business of taking a position, which seems so wildly out of touch from where almost everyone else in these leagues are at this moment. I get what she's trying to do, but it sure doesn't feel like she's going to be successful.
No, she's not going to be successful. And, you know, she's trying to listen, Travis, how long do you think she's been a senator?
I believe not long.
She was appointed in December.
Yeah.
So here's someone who didn't win an election, who was appointed and is trying to do whatever she can in order to win this special election, in order that she can, you know, become an official elected official as opposed to an appointed one. And so she's playing the culture card, and she's trying to ride the coattails, if you will, of President Trump. And it's not a bad political play, given where she is, an unelected official who's trying to like find a base, right? When you win an election, through the process of winning an election, you are automatically figure out who your base is because that's who's voting for you. Well, she didn't get that. And she's never been in politics before, so she has no idea. So she's grasping for straws for a re-election bid. And very much like the president has decided that culture war is going to be the ticket. What I would say is that's tone deaf for the moment. It's tone deaf for a political strategy. And it reeks of someone who either doesn't understand what Black Lives Matter is, or is trying to misrepresent it because they think that's the better political play. All of which to say, the notion that she believes sports and politics need to be separated is completely, completely bogus, is disingenuous, and I would even say it's a flat-out lie. She knows full well what she's doing. She's trying to use politics in sports to win an election. She's doing the exact opposite of what she says doesn't need to happen. And this notion that Black Lives Matter as an organization is somehow unpatriotic, which is what she's inferring when she says maybe we should have the flag on instead, as if people demanding that the America fulfill her promise are somehow now unpatriotic, is just ridiculous. Well, I'm ignoring her, to be quite honest with you. I'm ignoring her, and I believe that WNBA are going to scoot her out because they see what she's trying to do.
Well, the landscape has changed so dramatically. And you said earlier that politics and sports have been intertwined for forever, really. Now, I would also say that there was a long time that you could pretend that they didn't. That if you just wanted to kind of put on your blinders and go in there and say, okay, I'm just talking about who made the shot, who made the basket, who scored the winning run, you could pretend that that's going on. It's impossible to do that anymore. It is impossible to do that without looking like you're just pandering to something that wink, wink, nod, nod, you know, elbow that, hey, guys, we know what we mean. Just come out and say it. Just come out and say that you don't support this. Just come out and say, I don't like this. I don't want to be affiliated with this because this, oh, sports should be about sports and not politics. Senator Loeffler, I got bad news for you. You're not removing these two things. That every league has moved in this direction, some more than others, but every league has at least decided to publicly say, we support these movements. We believe in our players. We believe in our athletes and their ability to advocate for causes and that they believe in. This, hey, let's leave this stuff, check your politics at the door. It's gone forever, and just the notion of it is gone forever.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, as you said, Travis, I've always laughed at those people who want to tell me stick to sports or keep sports and politics separate. I always laugh because I'm like, you don't get to go to Dodger Stadium and celebrate Jackie Robinson Day and then look me in the eye and tell me it's always about sports. You don't get to do that. You don't get to look at where Dodger Stadium is built and tell me it's always only about sports. You don't get to do that. You don't get to ignore the history of what happened to Mexican-Americans in this city to get Dodger Stadium built. You don't get to look at me and tell me that it's all about sports, and I know about Jackie Robinson Day, and I know that we're still looking for someone who is comfortable enough to come out of the closet and be an active player in the Big Four sports. You don't get to look at me with that in the background and then tell me there's no room for politics. Sports, professional sports in particular, has always been political.
There is at least one person going into the Major League Baseball season that is not afraid of coronavirus at all, and it's a pretty interesting reason why. I'll tell you next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. LZ, let me ask you a question. Do you know who Joe West is?
Joe West.
Joe West.
W-E-S-T?
Yes, like the opposite of East.
Would that be the umpire, Joe West?
Oh, that's right. That's exactly right. I'm glad you got that right because there's an inherent problem in that right there. That we know who an umpire's name is. Really bad. If I know your name as an umpire, that means you suck at what you do. Because the only time we say an umpire's name is when you're doing it wrong. When you're either blowing calls or more often than not, when Joe West's case, is when you're intentionally picking fights with players and managers. That's Joe West's lane. That he's that worst combination of umpires who thinks guys are there to see him umpire and then goes out of his way to bait players into confrontations. That's a really bad combination. Being said, Joe West says that he's not afraid to go umpire during the coronavirus pandemic. And I'm going to read you this quote.
Okay.
I've lost 25 pounds over the winter. I'm playing golf every day in the heat. I'm fine. I'm not going to back down now. If this game hasn't gotten me by now, no virus is going to get me. I've weathered a bunch of storms in my life. I'll weather another one. So Joe West says he's not afraid of the coronavirus because he plays golf when it's hot and he's lost some weight. So that's all you need to do, LZ. You are now immune from the coronavirus. Lose a little weight, play golf in the heat, and you're good.
Can I be real with you for a second, Travis? I am no longer surprised, shocked when I hear this level of stupidity. I'm no longer shocked by anyone saying anything. Yesterday, I went to the gym. This is a little story I'm going to tell you guys. Can I get a little piano, please, Jorge? Because I'm about to tell a little story here.
Ooh, I like story time.
Yeah, story time, because this is going to tell you about America, all right?
Okay.
Yesterday, there was a CEO of a chain of gyms who found out from the courts that, yes, you too have to close your doors because of the coronavirus. Now, you would think that someone who's trying to sue the governor to stay open and keep his gyms open would be above reproach. Because if you're going to actually sue the governor, you need to have your issue in order, right? Right? You would think. This man,
you would think.
It has been learned, Travis, that this man not only knew that several of his employees had coronavirus while working at the gym, but that he didn't think it was necessary to tell any of the members who were coming to the gym that several of the people working at the gym had the coronavirus. Now here where's it get fun, right? This is the fun part of the story.
Okay.
So upon learning this, I'm pissed. Steve's pissed. The bunch of us are pissed. So we try to cancel our memberships because we're like, you know what? No to this. We're forced to drive to the gym because you can't do it over the phone because they're not taking phone calls anymore. We drive to the gym to cancel our membership. Now, everyone now knows that people in the gym have coronavirus. And as we go up to the gym, we notice two people out of this gym have masks on. Everyone else working out have no masks on.
Oh, boy.
And it's about three quarters full. So Travis, when I tell you I am no longer shocked when I hear and see stupid stuff, this is what I'm talking about. I personally went to a gym to cancel it because the owner concealed that people working at the gym had the coronavirus and no one's wearing masks. And the response to that is to go back to the gym without masks to work out.
Well, I mean, the guy like we were talking about a minute ago with the WNBA owner, you got to know your base. You got to understand your customers. So if they don't care that your staff is coronavirus lousy, then why let anybody know? You can just go in there and do your thing, right?
I was completely baffled. I was like, wait a minute now. We all know that this man didn't tell us that his employees were sneezing and wiping their noses and everything and had coronavirus.
And you wonder why
in Arizona in particular, we're a hot spot trying to figure out how to get this thing back under control.
Hey, yeah. LZ, you guys are so bad. I canceled my trip to Arizona. Remember I said I was excited.
If Raj Groves has been scared off of your party, you've got a bad party. You've got some stuff going on right there. Yeah.
I'm not lying at all. This is legitimately what happened. So when you see that, Travis, then quotes from like Cowboy Joe or whatever you like to call himself.
That's right. You know his nickname.
Yes, because he's an idiot. He's a longstanding idiot. So it's like when you hear him say stuff like that and you've witnessed people walk into a coronavirus petri dish, then you just go, you know what? Yes. There are people who are just going to make bad decisions and they give zero about how it impacts the rest of us.
I just would really love to understand the thought process of, I'm the biggest, baddest umpire out here. Therefore, this virus isn't getting me. What does one have to do with the other? Dude, this is taking out really healthy people. I understand that most people that are dying from this are old. Hey, Joe, guess what? You're in the number. You're 67 years old. I understand that most people that have really serious complications, including death from this disease, are carrying too much weight. Hey, Joe, guess what? You're carrying a little too much weight. Just putting you out there.
But I lost 25 pounds.
I understand that, you know, there are some places that are more dangerous than others when it comes to this stuff. Hey, Joe, you're in one of those places that has a really high infection rate. Like just puffing your chest out because you like to kick ball players out of games that give you dirty looks does not mean that you are immune to this virus. It's really hilarious to me that an umpire saying anything about this at all. Because look, the idea of being an umpire is you want to get in there and get out of there and have no one say your name. It's like an offensive lineman. If nobody said you were there, you did a good job. Means you didn't give up any sacks, means you didn't have any penalties. If you umpire a game and somebody says who umpired first base, it's like, hell if I know. Means you didn't blow any calls and you didn't kick anybody out of the game. That's a good job. That this guy is being quoted as wanting to fist fight the coronavirus because he plays golf in the heat is so quintessential Joe West, I can't even tell you. His response to the coronavirus is exactly why he's a bad umpire.
Yes, it is. His judgment is off. But I will say that when you look at social media and you see other videos of people losing their ish, being asked to wear a mask and things like that, I would say he's got an audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, if
maybe he should sell t-shirts or something.
If you're the dude in Costco going off about, you know, how you're a man and all that stuff, and you won't wear a mask and you won't be harassed to wearing a mask. Clearly, Cowboy Joe has an audience.
So, by the way, Costco not having samples anymore is devastating to me. I went into Costco for the first time last weekend. That was a real, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but that was devastating. That was always a good afternoon to go in there and get a few small slices of quesadilla or whatever they were handing out.
The things I learned about you, Travis, on a daily basis, they're just astonishing.
Oh, and you're surprised that I didn't like the Costco free samples? That surprises you?
The fact that you noticed they were gone surprises me. That's the
Oh, not me. I was looking. Are you sure? You guys don't have anything in the back? You don't have anything that you've been holding on to? All right, Patrick Mahomes has a huge new contract. That is really bad news for one team in particular. We'll tell you who next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.